The first lesson for today is from Jeremiah of the Old Testament. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The second lesson for today is from Luke of the New Testament. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of this whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and most merciful God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. A quick reminder for those of you who are children of the 60s, Jeremiah was not a bullfrog. He was a prophet. I had to get that out because it rattles around in my head since I was in seminary, which was a long time ago. This is an interesting reading we had from Jeremiah, by the way. You can see it's written, we think, at a time when Jeremiah was in jail. And the people of Israel, the northern kingdom, were being assailed, is that the right word? Invaded, overrun, and taken into exile by the Assyrians or the Babylonians or one of those other groups that kept marauding through their land at that time. And here's this prophet, this one who says he speaks the word of God, who's in jail. And he's in jail because he's dared to say to people, regardless of their station in life, whether they are the rulers in the house of David or the people working in the markets, tilling the soil, he's dared to say to all of them without fail, You people ain't doing what God wants you to do. And now they're so upset with him, even before they're invaded, even before the people who overrun them come through, they've thrown him in jail. And what is he saying from there? Oh, he's saying, don't worry. There will come a time when this land will be restored, when this land will be ruled again by people who care about and want to reflect in their lives and in their actions that which we call the righteousness of God. Justice, mercy, and kindness, one can assume, is what he meant. See, it's Advent, and it's a time to think about what do we expect at Christmas. You know, when we were younger, we all made out those lists. Maybe you still do. I don't know. You know, you wanted that BB gun because both your eyes were still working. Or that new bicycle or whatever, and you got a pair of socks and a sweater. I was thinking about this the other day, and it was reminded of me. You know, I've been, my second career here is as a tour guide. It seems like every other day I'm giving a tour from someone from St. Joseph's who want to look at the building in case they want to enter this partnership. And thank goodness that I've been given a tour of the building on the first day I got here by Andrew, so I could at least show them around and not get lost myself. But anyway, I was giving them a tour the other night, and there were members of their board and one of the doctors and a couple of the nurses. And they asked me this question that I was kind of floored by. I hadn't really thought about it, but it has to do with what we believe and why we're here as Presbyterians. One of them, we're showing them through the building. We were standing upstairs in one of the rooms, and I was talking about how they could have this area and we would take this other area and what we'd need to do and all this other stuff. And this young woman, kind of in a quiet and almost embarrassed voice, said, can I ask you a question? I said, well, sure. Ask me anything you want. And she said, well, when we move here, will we be able to prescribe contraceptives? I thought, what? And my only reply was, well, sure. This is a denomination which has stood strong throughout the years on the right of people, and especially women, to make choices about their own health care. And then I got to thinking, you know what? Maybe people in Waukesha don't know who we are anymore. They've forgotten. They don't think about Presbyterians as, well, whatever it is we are. You know, as people who elect their own leaders, welcome people without regard, seek to work for justice and peace and kindness in the world, celebrate the fact that we interpret this book, educate our clergy, run our own show in so many ways, and are connectional. Maybe they don't know that anymore. I was talking to Jim this morning about many of the things that you all have done over the years and how wonderful this congregation is and has been and hopefully will be. And I was listing out some of the things that I see as so incredible. And he said, oh, well, those are just things we always do. And I thought, see, Presbyterians, I've served enough congregations, I can say this. You know what we're really good at? You know what we're just so good at? Keeping our mouths shut outside the building. Keeping our mouths shut about what we do. Now, I don't know, I would say to John, you know what, let's not go bragging up and down the street. But we ought to at least think about what it is we do and why it is we do it. See, Jeremiah standing, I don't know, in jail. And he's saying to people, this is what your government should look like. This is what you should have. This is what you should look forward to. This is what you should prepare for. Advent, a time of preparation. a time to think about, well, who are we? What are we? And most importantly, why are we? You see, Jeremiah's, I guess I can call it this, his Jeremiad, his complaint, his promise, has this underlying message if you listen closely. And that message is there, though it's not clear necessarily in this particular passage. It's this: you have failed to do, and your rulers have failed to do what they should have done in the past. Now, what you should be expecting is change. It ain't going to be the way it was in the past. It's going to be different. It's going to be different because God participates with us and calls us to a new time. Now, that's a little ridiculous in some ways when we think about what it is we're getting ready to celebrate. It's almost as ridiculous. No, it's more ridiculous than Jeremiah in jail telling people everything's going to be okay. See, what we're going to celebrate is something that many of you I know have been through. Childbirth. A baby. A baby. We celebrate the idea that somehow or other God participates with us in this vulnerable, needy, squalling kid that's born. That symbol, I mean, that's not about us. We expect leaders to come marching down the street ahead of great military might with huge bombs that can kill everybody and blow us all to, as Hawkeye would say, H-E double hockey sticks. No, that was radar, sorry. Instead, we come in here to celebrate and give thanks for a vulnerable, loving God who says, we know, I should say, who the God who says, I know you've done wrong, but grace abounds just as much as sin does, if not more. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. That radical, radical love that God has for us when we dare to say, you know, we've been doing this wrong. We got to change this and do something new. And not be afraid to try. Jeremiah stood in jail and said, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get a ruler who puts the word of God into reality. It's going to be different. It's going to change. As we think about Christmas, as we prepare for it, let us think about how it will change us and what we expect that change to be.